Hello, friends. It's time for the News Talk 94.9 WSJM Morning Announcements with yours truly, Jim Gifford, and my partner in crime, Spencer Rivers. Brought to you by the good people at Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor. And there is a good chance that you have walked through a special light door when you go into a local restaurant or visit a school or a store or walk into a manufacturing plant. So thank you to Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor and enjoy your morning announcements.
Yes, that is correct. It is 68 at 11 after 6 o'clock on the 10th of November. We've got some cloud cover this morning. We've got winds out of the south or the southwest at 11 at WSJM. Walked out of the house this morning, Spence, and broke into a sweat. That's not right.
No, it was, of course, it got warm after I took the air conditioner out of the bedroom.
Of course it did. That only seems appropriate. I didn't actually break into a sweat, but I did wonder why on earth I was wearing a coat.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Why on earth am I wearing a coat?
You'll need it tomorrow.
Because it's November 10th, that's why. Yeah, and that's the truth, and we'll get to that in just a moment or two.
Did you see the turdy pointer?
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 As we jumped into the truck, then I'm going to get that turdy point buck.
I'm going to get that turdy point buck. I'm going to get that turdy point buck.
That's what came to mind yesterday, Spence, as I was watching you and Phil looking out the window here, because I had a feeling you were watching something out back here in back of the building, and it wasn't a turdy pointer, but it's a nice-looking buck out back,
good size.
Right? Yeah, and he was just what, just hanging around out there?
Yeah, he was watching me because he was watching me move back and forth across the windows, and he just kept looking up. At
so he was watching you watching him.
Yeah.
Watching you watching him. So, yeah, he's, I don't know whether he knows it, but he best to find a safe haven, like perhaps out in back of the building. Because if I'm not mistaken, the gun deer season begins on Sunday, the 15th. So maybe he's aware of that. Maybe he
that saw, could be.
Maybe he thought, just hang up at the radio station here.
Buck stops here.
I'll be safe here, won't I? Only time will tell, I guess. So, all right. Well, hey, he's not. Well, it's too early to tell if he's back this morning.
No, I couldn't see out there.
So it's just kind of a partly cloudy morning, and it's way warmer than it should be. We'll get into more on the upcoming change in the weather here in just a little bit. Thought I should at least, as we begin page one of your morning announcements here, at least bring you up to speed on where the contested presidential election results stand. So you have one of two choices as to where the election stands, either this one.
This election is not over. Far from it. We have only begun the process of obtaining an accurate, honest vote count. We are fighting for the rights of all Americans who want to have faith and confidence not only in this election, but in the many elections to come.
That, of course, is White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany. And so then you've got that choice or perhaps this perspective.
I will be a president for every American. This election is over. It's time to put aside the partisanship and the rhetoric that designed to demonize one another. It's time to end the politicization of basic, responsible public health steps like mask wearing and social distancing.
So there you go. It's either over or it's not. It's depending on which perspective you like there. That, of course, was President-elect Joe Biden, former vice president there, and his take on where we stand here regarding the presidential election of 2020. The lawsuits continue, the challenges remain, and we'll see what happens going forward here. Regardless of that, I guess the French fries are done. The beeping has begun out in the hallway. We will be talking a bit about COVID this morning because it's the numbers are getting very, very concerning for the health care community. And we'll be talking about that with, amongst others, Todd Dougherty from Woodland Terrace in our Living Gracefully segment. And then later this morning, I got a hold of Jillian Conrad over at the Brain County Health Department. She'll join us after the 8:30 news for an update on this shift in the prioritization of how they conduct COVID case investigations. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Here, though, up front, with the election still hanging in the balance, I don't know what to do here, Spence. I'm still waiting on my Civil War marching orders.
No.
So, you know, because if I don't hear something soon, I got to get that uniform that I rented from Everybody's Everything back to sooner. I'm going to have to pay a late fee.
Oh, dear.
I've been watching my social media news feeds religiously to see who I have to fight and where and why. But, you know, got the uniform. And I'm just waiting for my marching orders. I got a little more on that later this morning, too. Gun sales are down after the election and the announcement of the pandemic or the COVID vaccine. More on that later, too. Boy, the Dow went crazy yesterday. At one point, up like 1,500 points. It settled back a bit. Ended up, what, like 800 points up or something yesterday?
Yeah.
And all because of the vaccine announcement and the potential that there could be another stimulus check in the mail for you before the end of the year.
How long have they been saying that?
I know. Mitch McConnell said something about getting back to work on it to try to pull something together before the end of the year. But we'll see. Regardless, the Dow was encouraged yesterday. Not so much the NASDAQ. They took a little bit of a dive, but the Dow was impressed with that news yesterday. So we do know this morning that schools, the Herald Palladium reporting this morning that schools are struggling to keep in-person learning going because they're having problems with teachers getting sick and not having enough substitutes.
That's right.
So, you know, some schools are already having to revert to all online learning. And others may follow if we can't get this thing in check. So that's just something to be aware of this morning. The next phase of the COVID battle is coming to your smartphone, because why wouldn't it? Everything comes to your smartphone, doesn't it? By the way, are you intrigued by this new folding smartphone that I think Samsung has out?
Not really.
Because it looks kind of cool. It folds like in half, and when you open it up, it's got a full screen, and it's got a keypad, the whole thing in there, just like a regular phone, but it just kind of folds in half, screen and everything.
I don't know if I'd want that or not. I don't know. I don't know how long that would last.
That's a good question.
Do you want one?
Or? I don't know. I'm intrigued by it. So I'm sure the price tag's like $1,200 or something like that. So
wow,
that factors in.
You can get rid of that bag phone you got there.
Get rid of the bag phone and sell one of my cars. So, anyway, where was I going with that? Oh, State of Michigan launching a new app for your phone that will notify you if you have possibly been exposed to COVID-19. It's anonymous. There is no cost. It is a voluntary app. And apparently I tried this out up in Ingham County and on the campus of Michigan State University last month. It lets users know whether they may have recently been exposed to COVID-19. You, as a user, can confidentially submit a positive test result into the app. That will alert others in recent proximity that they may also have been exposed to the virus. I think that's a good idea. I haven't really had time to digest that as to whether or not that seems like a good plan.
I don't know.
I think it does. You get a positive test result. You put in the app, hey, I've had a positive test result. And then apparently anybody who's been in contact you via the phone, maybe? I don't know what this means, but others in recent proximity will be alerted. And I don't know whether that is based on GPS information from your phone. You know, that you may get an alert that says, hey, somebody that was close to you had COVID. or whether it relies on your contacts, as in who you have contacted recently. I don't know how the app works. I would guess that it's based on GPS information. Because
probably so.
Because otherwise, you're not really going to be alerting very many people.
No, I think I just tell people if I
have. Hang a sign around your neck.
Yeah.
Wear a sandwich board.
No,
just a sign that says, I'm positive.
Just tell people you know and stay home. That's what I do.
Well, and that's kind of part of the new plan by the Bergen County Health Department here, this new method of case investigations. And we'll be, like I said, talking more with Jillian Conrad about that this morning. They're kind of going to be relying on individuals to help pass the word if you've been exposed. So anyway.
What about lice? Would you tell someone if you had lice?
Thankfully, I've never had to deal with that. not with my kids or anybody.
Don't wear my hat. I have lice.
Man. So, yeah. Anyway. there is that. I like the idea of just hanging a sign around your neck that says I'm positive.
Of what?
Exactly. That would generate some conversation.
Yeah, well,
good
for you. You're a positive person. Wow.
All right, Dale Carnegie. What else can you tell me? anyway, this is becoming a very serious situation, regardless of our nonsensical take on the whole thing here. The Bergen County Health Department has mentioned shifting how it investigates cases. And again, we'll get some specifics on this a little later this morning. This after they reported 120 new cases on Saturday, and because of the continuing increase in the number of cases, what's happening, I guess, is it's delaying. There are delays in the amount of time it takes to contact everybody who test positive, for as well as those who've been in close contact with that person. So it's a matter of time, I guess. They're trying to figure out a way to save time and get the word out more quickly. So what they're suggesting, and I guess, is that residents will be urged not to wait for the health department to call, but to take personal responsibility and action if somebody becomes aware of a positive test result or potential exposure to COVID-19. Right. So, you know, don't hide it. Don't keep it secret. Let everybody know, hey, I may have been exposed. So, you know, either be careful, hunker down, or go get tested or something of that. Again, we'll get details from Jillian later this morning. I'm sure you've heard by now, or at least I would assume you've heard, that Pfizer has announced an early analysis showing that their COVID-19 vaccine is 90% effective. That is an impressive number.
Oh, it is.
And as I suggested earlier, that's why the Dow got excited yesterday. Keep in mind that most flu vaccines are generally in the 40 to 60%, sometimes up to 70% effective.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep. Oh. So this one, if these early tests hold true at 90% effective, is pretty exciting.
Oh, yes.
Also, it comes on the same day that the president-elect announced his COVID-19 response team. They had a big a Zoom meeting for the public to look at with all the health experts from across the country. And you're going to find this shocking, I'm sure. This Pfizer announcement has already devolved into a political spat.
Oh, dear.
Because right away, the Trump folks, including Vice President Pence and Kayleigh McEnany and Ivanka Trump, all going, hooray for my dad, hooray for the president, and warp speed, to which Pfizer responded, we didn't take any money for warp speed. We did this on our own and with help from Germany. but then the blowback on that is, okay, well, you didn't take any money from the government for development of the vaccine, but you're on board for a $2 billion deal for manufacture and distribution of it. So, are they a partner or aren't they? The political fight rages on. It's 6:25. Sports coming up next. That's page one of your morning announcements on WSJM. It is 6:41. I've got word from MDOT of a crash at on 94 in Union Pier. Details on that
wake
momentarily.
Up everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred.
6:42 from MDOT eastbound I-94 after Union Pier at about exit 6. That's coming into Berrien County. The left lane is blocked there due to a crash. And that just came down about a couple minutes ago. So that's a fresh situation there. We'll keep you posted as to if and when that changes. And then we've got, Spencer, what was the deal that Main Street in Benton Harbor is closing? That's today, right? From the basically from the freeway interchange, exit 33, up to, what was it, Walnut Street, if I remember right? Oops, I got to put your mic on there.
Yeah. Thank you. I was about to do signs here. Yes, MDOT says there will be a total closure of westbound I-94 business route or East Main Street for construction from I-94 exit 33 to Walnut Street in Benton Harbor. Tuesday, November 11th through Wednesday, November 25th, traffic will be detoured on westbound I-94, Napier Avenue, exit 30, and at M-139.
All right, then. So be aware of that. And go elsewhere if that's a normal route for you on a given day between now and the day before Thanksgiving. This is the beginning of the revamped interchange system there and the connection of the bypass.
Right.
Up to 94 and 196. So that is actually getting underway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we begin page two of your morning announcements, the big question is, would you, in the drive-thru, order up a McPlant the next time you go to McDonald's?
I don't know.
Did you ever try the Impossible Whopper?
No, I have not.
I did. It was reasonably tasty, but I think if you put enough salt on anything, you can make it.
That's true.
You can make it edible.
Very true.
No, I'm kidding. I did think that the Impossible Whopper was all right. I'm not a big veggie guy, but I do know that that they're making pretty significant strides in making that sort of food edible, or at least to my palate, more presentable. So at the time I thought, well, that's a stupid name for a hamburger, the Impossible Whopper. But like anything else, once it gets into the general lexicon, it becomes okay. And that's kind of the same reaction I'm having to the McPlant.
McPlant. I'd get confused and go to the florist.
That's right. Yeah, could I have some McLeaves with that? okay. Well, we'll see. I don't know if they're going to offer a side of McLeaves with your McPlant, but I guess anything's possible. I don't know what the drink will be. That's McDonald's foray into the meatless burger now. And I guess they're going to expand it beyond that to chicken-like products as well. So I guess this particular plant-based sandwich will taste like beef, and another potential one down the road will taste like chicken.
Huh. Well, everything tastes like chicken. So.
Again, with enough salt.
Yeah.
And spices.
So my mother always said, eat it. It tastes just like chicken.
Including pork on a stick, which we called city chicken, and no one ever explained that to me.
Yeah, I loved that. My mom used to make that all the time.
That was a big thing, apparently, late 50s and 60s. But it was. It was pork, basically lightly dusted and deep fried, and we called it city chicken. So.
It was on, she served it, or when she got it, it was on a stick.
Yeah. Yeah, it came on a skewer.
Yeah,
a
skewer.
Or you put it on a skewer or whatever. Yeah. All right. So anyway, hey, one final note here before we leave the COVID thing here this morning. an update on from the Notre Dame game on Saturday night, which had a lot of people all up in arms or in a tizzy or whatever you might want to call it, when the students there rushed the field after the Notre Dame's upset of formerly number one ranked Clemson. Not a lot of students in the stands. They were all apparently and appropriately socially distanced and wearing their masks and so on and so forth. But then Notre Dame wins it, and everybody goes for broke, rushing the field, and they're all shoulder to shoulder and nose to ear, and people pull down their masks for, you know, yelling purposes and, and probably to breathe as well. So that did not set well with the most of the rest of the world, including the sporting world, who harshly criticized the student body at Notre Dame for being unaware, perhaps selfish. And the sports world's take on it was this. Okay, so you just beat a team whose premier quarterback was sidelined because of COVID. And immediately after that, you go down on the field and potentially infect your entire team
because
the team is still down there, and all of these kids, all these students are, you know, all over the place, and who knows who, you know, who's positive, who's infected, who's not, and the potential, the potential was there to infect the entire team. So that was just silly. So in the aftermath of all of that, comes word that the entire student body now must take a COVID-19 test before they leave campus for the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday, or they can face serious consequences. The mandatory testing comes after the whole rushing of the field there. Notre Dame president Reverend John Jenkins emailed the entire student body Sunday night to inform them of this mandatory testing. All tests must be completed and results must be known by the students before they can leave campus for the extended winter break. So if a student leaves before knowing their results or does not take the test, they very likely will be prevented from registering for future classes.
Ooh.
So, you know, they're pretty serious about this. And who knows, they may have to quarantine half the student body there, depending on how those tests come back. So, all right, we've been talking a little bit about the weather this morning, mainly because it is so unusually warm. We have been coasting along here at some 20 degrees above normal for this time of year. And it has made for great dog walking weather and last of the season beach walking weather and that sort of thing. And it's made for fabulous colors and leaf picking up opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
My front yard is an absolute disaster.
Again?
It's like I didn't even, it's like I haven't even touched it.
Oh, dear.
And so I'm counting on tonight's cold front to blow some of that out out of there before I have to go out and try to deal with it again. Half the driveway is completely covered. You can't even see it. The whole front half of the front yard is, you can't see anything. It's just all leaves. So I'm hoping there's a lot of wind with that cold front that's coming through tonight. So, but we do have at least one more day of a potentially record-setting warmth, and then temperatures will quote-unquote plummet tonight and into tomorrow. And that comes with temperatures running, as I said, 20 to 25 degrees warmer than long-term normals. So when the crash comes, it's really just going to bring us back to normal November weather. So, the question is then, will that last? Is, you know, is this the last of the warm weather? You never really know, but the cold front moves through tonight and early tomorrow morning. Temperatures will drop 20 to 25 degrees. So Wednesday afternoon, up near 50 if we're lucky. So, but again, that's pretty normal for early November.
Well, if you remember last Christmas, I remember we ate outside for Christmas dinner.
Really?
Last Christmas, yeah.
I have a horrible memory, and I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, it was quite warm.
Like out at the picnic table or just wandering around with a sandwich?
Mother-in-law's house, and I believe it was last year. A lot of people just sat outside and had dinner.
Go figure.
Yeah. Of course, that didn't last long.
But. Well, yeah. I always hope for a little bit of lake effect snow right before Christmas. And then as far as I'm concerned, it can quit right then, but it never does. Excuse me. So anyway, here's a little something from our Work Hard, Have Fun, Make a Left file, which is a takeoff on Amazon's credo or mission statement or logo line or whatever you want to call it, which is Work Hard, Have Fun, Make History. In this case, we have altered that to Work Hard, Have Fun, Make a Left, because this is the story of an Amazon driver who relied on his GPS, and it went horribly, horribly wrong for him. This happened at the Boulder Point Golf Club here in Michigan. Bill Offer is the supervisor there and was surprised when he saw one of those high-top, you've seen the Amazon delivery vans in your neighborhood? Those kind of high-top delivery trucks. He saw one of them wedged under a golf cart tunnel at his golf course in Oxford, Michigan, over this past weekend. And the picture is pretty funny. It happened about 2:30 in the afternoon. The driver apparently took a wrong turn down a cart path on a golf course. And the van filled with deliveries. He tried to get it into the tunnel, and it's a stone-faced tunnel. And he tried to drive in there. It's built for golf carts. And he got in far enough that he got the truck wedged in there and he couldn't get it out.
Oh, boy.
He said, it's the tunnel that leads from the clubhouse to the third nine there at the Boulder Point Golf Club in Oxford. And the supervisor, Mr. Offer, said he was initially mad at the driver, but calmed down when he saw how shaken the driver was, and the driver said that GPS led him there. Supervisor's response was, "That's funny. It really is." He got stuck about 6 feet into the tunnel. There's another picture of it. You can go, I don't know who's, mlive.com's probably got pictures of it. But there's a picture from the back as it's stuck in there, and then they took a picture from inside the tunnel with the front end of this van sticking in this golf cart tunnel.
Oh, boy.
I've had issues with GPS in the past, but you'd think you'd have enough sense to realize, hey, wait a minute. This doesn't look like a street. I'm in the middle of a golf course.
Right.
So,
I feel sorry for the guy.
He just had not having a good day there.
Probably got in trouble with the boss.
Yeah, the supervisor said they did, the guy at the golf course said an Amazon supervisor did come out with another truck to quickly unload the packages and get them on their way again, because that's paramount with Amazon, the fast delivery.
Oh, sure, yeah.
We got to deal with something. My wife ordered some cleaning supplies online, and they sent us instead a long sleeve woman's shirt, a pair of pants, and a bunch of hair clips. It's like, what?
How'd that happen?
Well, based on the label, which says, this weighs whatever it was, 40 pounds or something. Somebody just put the label on a wrong package or a machine did or something.
So you said I had to send all that stuff back then, or?
Yeah, they got a. I don't know whether you know this, but Kohl's is a designated Amazon drop-off thing there. I don't know. Maybe you can pick up stuff too, but if you need to send something back, you can just take it over to Kohl's.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So yeah, we got to do that. But then the stuff she needed, now it's not going to arrive on time. So, but that was just bizarre. I picked up this package out front, and we were expecting something, and I picked it up. I'm like, well, wait a minute, this doesn't look right. Opened it up, a woman's long-sleeve shirt, pair of pants, hair clips. I don't think this is what we ordered.
So maybe somebody else got the cleaning supplies.
I'm sure they did. At 6:56, page 2 of your morning announcements there on WSJM Sports Update.